Morning Hope Church. How's everyone today? On this beautiful summer day, right? Summer's here. Yeah, maybe not, but we'll take what we can get, right? At least it's not six below. Well, I know that most of you probably came here this morning expecting Pastor Ryan to be bringing the message, and he had every intention of being here, but the Smith's third child decided it was time, and Ira James was born Friday at 1:32 p.m. 8 pounds, 9 ounces. I know that no one's more happy than Amanda, right? Get this thing out of me. But I'm happy to report that everyone is doing well, and Pastor Ryan will be back soon. As I said, he planned to be here today, but circumstances being what they are, he's asked me to step in and bring the message this morning, something that I had not necessarily planned on doing. But, as we all know, things don't always go the way you plan, right? Reminds me of something I heard most recently in a John Lennon song. I believe the quote goes back to the 50s in an article in Reader's Digest. Regardless, the quote goes like this: "Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans." And friends, I will tell you that that is so, so true in my life. So many times over the years, I've made a plan, and that plan has gone sideways and gotten sidetracked. There was a detour ahead. Now, for those of you who are relatively new to Hope Church, you may be wondering, you know, all right, who is this guy and why is he preaching today? Legitimate question. But for those of you who don't know me, my name is Andy Wallstrom, and I was the pastor here prior to Pastor Ryan taking over. And you're probably going, okay, well, that makes sense. And if you were with us at the end of December, you recall that I preached then as well. If you weren't there, that's okay. We'll get you caught up. But I shared a little bit about my journey and the fact that I never in a million years planned on being a pastor. Never in a million years did I think that that was going to be part of my plan. But God had something else in mind, and I was the pastor here up until May of 2023. See, my life, my journey, especially my journey to Hope Church, has been filled with detours. I've made plans, lots of plans. But very often things would kind of go sideways and I'd find myself on another path with a new plan. For instance, as I shared with you, my journey to Hope Church was very interesting, filled with detours. If we roll back about 10 years or so ago, my wife Nancy and I were attending a very large, growing church. It was a church with multiple campuses. They had this very aggressive growth strategy to continue to launch campuses. They announced that they were going to be launching a new one, and Nancy and I looked at this as an awesome opportunity to get involved in a church plant. So we volunteered to be a part of this core team, and we helped to launch this new site. Well, I became good friends with the pastor, and he began to mentor me. And it was through this mentoring process that he became convinced that I should investigate the possibility of full-time ministry. potentially as a campus pastor for a future multi-site. Now remember, if you were with us before, I told you that prior to that, I had felt God's call on my life to ministry. But what did I do? I ran the other way. Just like my buddy Jonah. I ran the other way. I ran from God's call on my life. I said, no. I have a plan, and it doesn't include becoming a pastor. My plan had to do with my future, my career, my family. Well, God doesn't give up. Praise the Lord, God doesn't give up. And this time, I felt this nudge, and I felt the need to at least look into it. So I was invited to participate in this leadership training residency on a track to becoming a campus pastor. And it was during that time that I became convinced myself that yes, I was being called into full-time ministry. I was going to become a pastor. I yielded to God's call this time on my life. I began to pursue becoming a commissioned pastor. I had a new plan, all mapped out, got this figured out, right? Well, while I was pursuing my studies, the church that we were a part of pulled back from this incredibly aggressive growth strategy that they had. Where did that leave me? I was really, really confused at this point. I'm like, God, you called me to this, and I had a plan, and now nothing? And I really, really began to question this calling. There was a detour coming. Well, in the meantime, we decided to sell our house in Illinois and get out of there. And we could spend a lot of time talking about that this morning, but we won't. We were going to escape Illinois and began to look for a home. We looked in Munster and in Dyer and St. John and eventually Crown Point. You know, we knew what we wanted in a home, but we just weren't finding it. And then our realtor said, you need to look in Lowell. And I'm like, Lowell? Where is that at? And friends, I remember very vividly the first time we came to look at a home. We came down 41 to Commercial, drove right by this very building. 10 years ago, it was a tire shop at the time. And we pulled into Casey's to get a Coke. I looked at my wife. I said, where are we? You know, I think we've reached the edge of the earth. We're there. You know, this is the end. But as God's providence would have it, we found the home that we were looking for right here in Lowell. So we moved to Lowell. Now, we were still commuting an hour one way to church. That wasn't working, because we knew that we wanted to serve a church where we lived. We wanted to serve a church in our neighborhood. Now, I was finishing a term as elder at this other church, so we really hadn't even started looking for a church yet. And we get this card in the mail. Card comes in the mail, says, Hope Church, join us for our first service, 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon at the Nazarene Church down at the other end of town. We're not doing anything on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, so we said, let's go check this out. So we did. And it was really, really awesome. So I introduced myself to a couple of people, and it wasn't long before we were on the steering team. That's how quick it happened. We're part of the steering team now. Now, at the time, Hope Church was doing all pulpit supply. There was no full-time teaching pastor. But I had experience preaching, so I offered to help out, which was met with a, you do what? Really? Skepticism, and I get it, rightfully so. They should be skeptical. But I got the opportunity. I began helping out with the teaching. And eventually I was encouraged to kind of breathe some life back into this commission pastor thing, which I did. And I completed my studies, passed my examination for commission pastor, and I was installed as the first lead teaching pastor for Hope Church. Friends, let me tell you, not at all where I planned to be. It was not part of my plan. You know, along the way, we had made a lot of plans. A lot of plans. But see, God had different ideas. So here's my question for you. When you think back, can you identify a time or times in your life when you had a plan, but that plan took a detour, got sidetracked off in a direction that you never intended? Maybe you can relate to me. Maybe you too feel like so many of the plans that you've made over the years have kind of veered off in one direction or another, not at all where you would map them out to be. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't make plans. On the contrary, making plans is a very good thing. In fact, Scripture encourages it. Proverbs tells us that the plans of the diligent surely lead to abundance. It's good to make plans. But we're going to look at some Scripture today in Isaiah chapter 46 that has some things to say about our plans. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 46. Someone looked it up for me at the last service and said it was on 7:21. Tell me if that's correct. If it's not, we'll adjust. But Isaiah 46, we're going to kind of live in verses 8 through 13. We might jump around a little bit. But we're going to see what we can learn about our plans. And as we work through this particular passage of Scripture, I want to point out, ironically enough, three things. Three things that we need to remember about the plans that we make. The first and foremost is it is God's plan. It is God's plan. So often we have this narcissistic notion that this life, it's all about us. The world revolves around us, right? Newsflash, it's not. It's not about us. This is God's story. Friends, the narrative of the Bible from the very beginning of creation to the absolute end of the world as we know it, it's His story. It's all about God. It's His plan of redemption for a sinful people. How does it start out? In the beginning, God, right? It doesn't say in the beginning, Andy, or in the beginning, put your name in there. This is God's story. We are merely participants in His story. Look at what he says in Isaiah chapter 46, kind of starting in the middle of verse 10 from our scripture today. It says, "My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it." And what God is saying here very clearly is that it is His plan. It's His purpose. His counsel shall stand. His purpose will be accomplished. And He is going to, friends, carry out His sovereign plan in this world. He's going to carry out His sovereign plan in His church, which includes Hope Church. He's going to work out His sovereign plan in our families, and He is going to work out His sovereign plan in each and every one of our individual lives. And you know what? He's going to use everything at his disposal to do it. It's interesting, this reference to this bird of prey that we see in verse 11, it's a reference to a man named Cyrus. Cyrus was the Persian king from Persia that conquered Babylon in 539 BC. And it was Cyrus who freed the Jewish people from the Babylonian exile. It was Cyrus, this pagan king, that sent the Jewish people back to Jerusalem where they would eventually rebuild the temple. Now, he may not have been one of God's people, but he still served God's purpose. See, we know absolutely that God will use the good to carry out his sovereign plan. But you know, he also uses the bad. And he'll even use the ugly. He's done it in the past. He can do it again. Let's face it, he is God. Look at what he says at the end of verse 9 from chapter 46. He says, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. And this is the theme throughout the book of Isaiah. It's the theme throughout the Old Testament. It's a theme throughout the entire Bible, the idea of monotheism. Mono, one, theos, God. There is one God, friends, and He is the God of the Bible. In the previous chapter, in chapter 45, verse 5, it says, I am the Lord and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. Drop down to verse 18 of chapter 45. It says, for this is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord and there is no other. Friends, God, the God of the Bible, is the creator of the cosmos. And it is all about God's plan. It's not about us. It's not about our plan. You know, for the longest time, I thought this was my life. This was my life. And I was going to live it the way I wanted to. And that's the way I lived. But friends, it took me a very, very long time to figure out that it isn't about me. That this isn't my life. It's about God. And it's about His plan. It is God's plan. Secondly, it is the best plan. It's the best plan. See, God loves us with a love that we cannot even wrap our minds around. We cannot fully understand God's love for us. But He loves us and He's promised to provide and to care for us. Listen to what He says in Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Isaiah 41 tells us, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And Deuteronomy 31, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Friends, just incredible promises that include God's best plan for us. But I know the question. The question that's been asked since the beginning of time, right? How do we reconcile the things that happen in this world? You know, when we have plans and those plans get derailed, in particular by seemingly disastrous events, right? That's the question that everybody wants an answer to. Why do bad things happen to good people? And that can be tough, friends. That can be incredibly difficult, especially while it's happening, while you're in the midst of it, and we just don't understand God's plan. But verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 46, God says this. He says, "Remember this and stand firm." Other translations say, "Remember this, keep it in mind, take it to heart." And what God is saying is, remember. Remember that I am the one and only true God. Remember my ways, my plans are sovereign and they are perfect, whether we understand it or not. We looked at verse 9 a moment ago. Let's remind ourselves again. He says, "I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me." And when he says in verse 8, "Stand firm," what God is saying is, "Trust me. Trust me. Put your faith in me." See, our greatest problem, friends, is that we think we know what's best for us, right? We think we know what's best. And when we start thinking like that, then we make God smaller than us. And then we become God. And friends, I don't know about you, but I know that I am not qualified to be God. I'm not. But we second guess God, right? We second guess Him, especially when things aren't going our way. And that can be a very dangerous place to be. In Isaiah chapter 45, God says this. He says, "Do you question me about my children? Or give me orders about the work of my hands? It is I who created the earth and created mankind on it." I mean, God is saying, who are you to question me? I am the creator. I created you. And you know, Paul echoes the sentiments in Romans chapter 9, where he says, "But who are you, a human being, to talk back to God?" I mean, honestly, friends, who are we that we should question the creator of the universe and His plan? Rather, we should trust that God is faithful to His promises, and He is faithful to His promises to care for and to provide. Verse 9 of our scripture says, "Remember the former things of old." And what God is saying is, He's saying, look back. Look back and remember my faithfulness to you in the past. And this would have meant a lot to the people of Israel, right? Because He's saying, look back. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I brought you out of slavery. I cared for you for 40 years in the wilderness. Remember, remember my faithfulness to you in the past. Friends, it is critically important that we look back. We look back at the significant emotional events in our lives and try to understand how God has been directing and how God has been purposing and shaping you for His purposes. So often that perspective is the only one that can help us to make sense of what's happened. It was for me. You know, I shared a couple months ago about the fact that I was in a near-fatal car accident. I should have been killed. And at the time, I looked, it made no sense. It made no sense. How could this be part of God's plan for my life? But see, later on, I look back at that seemingly catastrophic event, and I could see God's sovereignty. And I could see that He was doing a number of things in my life. He was getting my attention. And He was changing the trajectory of my life. See, without that single event, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here today. So we need to look back. We need to gain that perspective. And there's so many examples in the Bible of this. We don't have time to look at all of them, but the one that comes to mind immediately is Joseph. If you don't know Joseph's story, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Brothers hated him. They sold him into slavery. You think that was part of Joseph's plan for his life? I think that's how he had things mapped out? I'm pretty much guarantee you it was not. And then when he was jailed in Potiphar's dungeon for years, you think that was part of his plan for his life? No. No. But when he looked back, he said this. He said, "You," meaning his brothers, "intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done." Friends, it's God's plan. And it is the best plan. The last thing I want us to take away from this is the fact that it is our salvation plan. It's our salvation plan. Friends, that is what God's ultimate plan for each one of us is. Verses 12 and 13 of chapter 46 speak to us today. God begins by saying, "Listen to me, you stubborn of heart." Are we stubborn of heart? Yeah. Yeah, you could actually even substitute the word sinner here. Listen to me, you sinner. Because are we sinners? Am I the only one? Thank you. I always hate to be on an island by myself, right? I do. But God says, "Listen to me, you stubborn of heart." He goes on to say, "You who are now far from my righteousness." Are we far from God's righteousness? We are, because sin has created this vast chasm between us and a holy God. But, he says, "I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. I will put salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory." Friends, God is the one who created us for His glory. We were created for His glory. And He sent His Son to pay the price for our sins, to bridge the gap between us and God, a price, a chasm that we could never cross. And He did that, friends, because He loves us. He loves us. He wants us to be with Him in eternity. Can you wrap your head around that? The God of creation, the God who created you, wants you with Him for all eternity. You know, Jesus says it so beautifully in John 3:16. I know this is one of Pastor Ryan's favorite verses. It's one of mine too. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Friends, I love that. I love that. But I love the verses that follow. 17 and 18 say, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." Friends, that is God's plan of redemption. That is God's plan for each one of us here today. And we need to keep that eternal perspective. We need to remember that no matter what we are experiencing in our lives today, no matter how our plans are being detoured, we know, friends, that there will come a day that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And there will be no more sin. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more death, and we will reign with Him forever. Friends, that is God's plan. It is the best plan, and it is our salvation plan. So we will continue to make plans, right? We will. I mean, we'll continue to make plans for our lives, you know, where we live, what we'll do for work. You know, all those decisions that we really have to make. But I pray that we would have a little different perspective on our plans from now on. And I want to leave you with this. It's a passage from James' epistle. I love James. This is what he says. He says, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit.'" In other words, make a plan, right? "Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.'" And friends, that is the perspective that we need to have, because it is all about God's will for our lives. It is all about God's plan for our lives, for our families, for our church, for this world. See, we can make plans, friends, but those plans are never guaranteed, because it's all about God's plan. It's the best plan, and ultimately, friends, it is our salvation plan. Let's pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come to You with praise. We praise You, Lord, because we know who You are. We know that You are the God of creation. We know that You created us. We praise You, Lord, and we thank You. We thank You so much that You love us, that You sent Your Son to die for us, and that through Him, and only through Him, we can have that eternity, that salvation plan that You've promised for those who put their faith in Jesus. And Lord, if there's someone here who hasn't made that choice yet. I just pray that you'd pour your Spirit out and work in their heart, work in their mind. I pray that you'd pour your Spirit out on each and every one of us, Lord, that we would understand that it is all about your will for our lives. Father, we praise you. We thank you. We ask for your continued blessing, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.